So as Stephen said right at the beginning, we have been looking a lot more at the impossible and how God does impossible things through ordinary people like us. And that's good news because we're all pretty ordinary, but God is pretty incredible. He's pretty amazing and he is here to do things through you. And this morning again, we're going to encourage ourselves. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at Nehemiah this morning. We're going to challenge ourselves with you next week of what we're going to do with all that we have heard and how are we going to do the impossible through God's help and with God's help. And then we're going to finish up on Easter Sunday with Jesus, how he did the impossible. He did the absolute impossible, and there's nothing to beat that, but he's our inspiration. He is kind of the one who sustains us and empowers us, and so we take all our leading from him. This morning, I want us to think about Nehemiah. He's a guy right from the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that he is a cupbearer. He's a cupbearer in the Old Testament. So what on earth does that mean? He is the guy who brings drinks to the table. That's what he is. He's serving in a foreign land to a foreign king, and he brings him the drinks. He's the cupbearer. He pours out more wine. He serves. He's a servant in a foreign land. And I guess this morning we can think of ourselves as servants in foreign lands because this world is not really our home. If we know Jesus, then our home is heaven, and that's where we're going to. And this world, we're just here to serve. We're in a foreign land serving the King of Kings, and we're here to bring heaven to earth. That is our joy, and that is our destiny. That's what God's called us to do. And in a foreign land, there are times where you're going to have to do impossible things, and especially where Nehemiah found himself. He found himself in a foreign land, and it was hard to live for the king. It was hard to live for the King of Kings, not the king that he served. He could do that easy. That was his job. But it was hard to live for the King of Kings, but he serves the table, and this is where he finds himself. Now, what's happening at this time, just to put some context before we move into the story, is that the Jews have kind of fallen on hard times, which kind of happened with God's people over the generations. The Israelites, they kept forgetting about God. They kept going their own ways. They kept coming back to God, and then they would get over kind of concerned with themselves again, and before you know it, they would go their own ways. And so we find ourselves in the early part of Nehemiah where the Jews are on the run again. They're beaten up. They're ashamed. They're battered. They're bruised. Everything's been defeated. Jerusalem has been wiped out. And now we've come at the beginning of Nehemiah, and they're rebuilding the temple. They're rebuilding the temple. But then Nehemiah gets a glimpse from afar off, and something moves in his heart, and this is what we're going to look at. And of course, if you know the story of Nehemiah, you'll know this morning that he rebuilds the walls. And if you don't know, that's what he did. And we're going to look at it this morning. And it's going to encourage us, and it's going to bless us. The first thing that Nehemiah does as the royal cupbearer is that he sees a big problem. And maybe we can see a big problem in our world today, in our mouth today, in our workplace, wherever we find ourselves. But Nehemiah chapter 1 verse 3 says this, and this is where it all starts for Nehemiah, when he starts to realize who he is and he starts to believe that he could do the impossible. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jericho is broken down and the gates have been buried, burned with fire. And so the Lord has been rebuilding the temple. The Jewish people have been rebuilding the temple. But there's a really important element missing. Do you remember the story of Jericho? The reason that God's people were able to defeat Jericho was not because of what was inside. It was what was on the outside. It was the walls around the city. Because once you defeat the walls of the city, it doesn't matter what else is in there. You will overrun it. You will overcome it. And you will defeat it. But now the shoes are on the other foot, because the Jews have rebuilt the temple. They're God's chosen people. They've rebuilt the temple, but the walls are defeated. And so even though they've rebuilt the heart of the city, even though they've rebuilt the temple, they're incredibly vulnerable. They're in a really bad spot because any enemy that comes, that is their main defense. And they'll be able to walk straight through and disable them again, defeat them again, wipe them out again. And God is here this morning to say that he showed Nehemiah a problem, and out of that, Nehemiah was moved. And what about us today? The challenge for us is, what do we see when we look out to the world around us? Do we see just all the things that's to do with me and what I must do and what I must achieve? Or do we look out and we despair sometimes because we look out and we see people that have fallen from God or have never known God, who are far from God, and we say, what could I do? Maybe it could be through a simple golden ticket on St. Patrick's Day that instead of going to the chocolate factory, they would come to know Jesus. That's really the heart of all of that. We go out to have fun in the joy of the Lord, to show people the joy that we have in Jesus, that they could maybe come to know him too. That's our hearts. When we go to run the marathon, what do we go to do it for? We go to do it for Jesus. We go to do it for him. What do we do Zumba for? I mean, we're just addicted to this. We're addicted to outreach. We're addicted to telling people about Jesus. What's Zumba all about? Of course, we're going to get fit in the process, but really what it's about is to see her saved and maybe other unsaved people coming to Zumba and getting saved too, because we believe that we want to see heaven populated with the people of earth. We want to see them because the alternative is this. You go to a lost eternity. And so Nehemiah sees a problem. From afar off, he sees a problem, and it moves his heart. And this is what we find in verse 4. His heart is moved. It says, when I heard these things, look what Nehemiah does. I sat down and I wept. One of the best things that we could do at this moment, in the lives that we're living, at the pace that it's going, is just to slow down, take a moment, and just rest. And sometimes, if we start to think about things very quickly, we can get emotional and we can start to weep because we're like, God, this is not your plan. This is not your original design. This is not what you decided for your people. And of course, it's not. And sometimes we've got to slow down to appreciate that. But life wants to keep us busy. Life wants to keep us moving. And God says this morning very simply, maybe you need to slow down for a moment so you can see the problem, get moved by the problem, and then maybe do something with the problem. And that's exactly what Nehemiah does. Look, he sits down. He thinks about these things for a moment, and he begins to weep. It moves his heart. Not only does it move him on the inside, but it moves him to tears on the outside. For some days I mourned, and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And if you read the whole book of Nehemiah, the thing that he keeps calling us back to is fasting and praying and knowing the scripture. Fasting and praying and reading the scripture. Fasting and praying and reading the scripture. These seem like old-fashioned things, things that we don't need anymore, but they are vital if we're going to break the powers that be in this world. If we're going to see our friends and family saved, if we're going to see great things done for the kingdom of God, it's going to be praying and fasting and knowing the scriptures. Why? Because we got to know who we are. We got to know what we're believing. We got to know what we're standing on. We got to know what God says, because when I know what he says, then I know what I can do. And God is here this morning. He wants to remind you of what he says over you. You are a daughter of the king. You're a son of the king. You can do impossible things for the kingdom of God. So come on, church, this morning. Let's stir our hearts and let's remind ourselves of what we are called to do. We're called to fast and pray. Called to fast and pray. The other benefit of fasting and praying is if you're not able to see, and if you're not being moved, that's another good reason to fast and pray. Now, Nehemiah did see, and he was moved, and he was moved because of his fasting and praying. But if you're here this morning, you're like, I'm not sure if I'm seeing things, I'm not sure if I'm feeling things the way I needed to, then maybe you need to do what he did. Stop for a moment. Take a rest for a moment. Get into God's presence and start to seek him. And you could say, for us looking at the story, and maybe you say for yourself, well, those things, I'll address them when they're for me. You know, I'll look after what's in my family and what's in my immediate circle, but I'll not worry about anybody way off there. We've got to look at the story of Nehemiah. We're going to see in just a moment the miraculous things that God did through Nehemiah. But the biggest thing that he did was he realized that if it's their problem, it's his problem, because I'm a son of God. I have an identity. I have a purpose. God has a plan for me. And maybe the things that I see and maybe the things that I can see, even if they're far off, maybe again God wants to use me. And so Nehemiah is in a foreign land. He's not in Judah. That's where the people of Israel are. That's where the Jews are. That's where the fallen kingdom is. That's where the walls are. And yet he sees from afar and he sees his people in distress and he says, I've got to come to them. I've got to come to their rescue. Who does that sound like? Jesus. I've got to come to the rescue. He's sitting in heaven. He has everything perfect. Everything worked out just the way he likes it, but it's not pleasing him because his heart is breaking for the people of earth because he knows they need a savior. And what does he do? I'm going to go. And the great news about Jesus is he didn't send anybody else. He didn't make anybody else go and do it. He always leads the way. He says, I'm going to die for my sons and daughters. I'm going to go and die for my people. And God says this morning, what are we prepared to do for his kingdom? It could be that he wants us to see from afar off into a foreign land, or it could be that he wants us to look out from our beautiful homes and from our beautiful families, which we're blessed with, and see the people that's out there who don't have that and say, hey, I'd love to bring you into a safe place. Maybe this is a safe place. Maybe it's into your prayer life is a safe place. But where are we bringing people to that God has touched our hearts with? And if he hasn't, then prayer and fasting and reading the scripture is a great way to remind us of what God calls us to. And here's the key thing about Nehemiah. Not only does he see the problem, get moved with the problem, but he's going to go to the problem. He's going to go to the problem because he needs to do something about it because he knows who he is in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 4 says this, the king said to me, what is it you want? I mean, it just feels like over this last few weeks, over and over and over again, the people that did the biggest things that we've been seeing and the people that did the impossible had to go to the powers that be, had to go to the kings of the day to get permission almost, or to get the authority to move. But God's hand was on him, and so the king's heart was moved. And I want us to see today that when we go in God's presence and in his strength, even the governments will move for God. Even the people in authority will move for God. Verse 4 says this, the king said to me, what is it you want? Then I prayed to the God of heaven. I just love this about Nehemiah. No matter what he did, he said, I want to know what God says. I want to know his words. Who said that before? Jesus. I only want to do what the Father tells me to do. I only want to say what the Father tells me to say. Before he goes to meet the king, he says, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? The prayer to God is our strength. It's not our last resort. It's our first response. It's our number one thing that we do because we know, God, I need to know your heart. I need to know your word. Verse 5, suddenly, wow. The king answered me, if it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. And of course, the favor comes because God's hand is upon him. It says, and the king granted these requests in verse 8 because the gracious hand of God was on me. Wow. Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king. He gets moved by the King of Kings and suddenly decides, I want to be a master builder. I want to go to a far-off land, and I want to rebuild the city walls because there's a people. My people are in disgrace. My people are fallen. My people are open for every kind of abuse there is, and I want to go and be a savior. I want to go and be a friend. I want to go and be a helper. I want to go and be a servant. He leaves the comfort of the palace to go to the broken walls of a beat-up city. And this is what sometimes God calls us to do. But I tell you what, where is the most fun? Where is the most joy? Where is the most purpose with the people in Judah, with the people at the broken walls, with sweat and tears, and I want to give up, Lord, and I don't even know if you're there, Lord. That's where it's at. That's where the purpose is. That's where the plans are. Sometimes we can get confused with the comfort, and we say, I want to just stay in the palace because I'll be okay. One of the biggest things that we're reminded of from the book of Esther last week was that when Mordecai comes to Esther, he says, hey, don't think that you're going to be okay just resting in the palace. It could be that you've been called for such a time as this to do exploits for the king. And what are the things that God has called you this morning for? But maybe because of all the things that we've been through, we've been pressed down, and it's hard for us to see anymore. It's hard for us to believe anymore. And God says, I am here, and I'm ready to renew you. The big problem with the people that Nehemiah was going to was they were ashamed and defeated. They were broken. They were battered. They were abused. They knew that they had let God down. They knew that they had made mistakes, and they had been hammered for it. They had been beat up for it. Their city had been destroyed for it. God's temple had been removed, but now, just through the power of God, the temple is being restored, and now the walls will be. And Nehemiah goes in chapter 2:17. He says, Nehemiah told the Jewish leaders, you see the trouble we're in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, that we will no longer be in disgrace. Come, let us rebuild the walls. Now, what makes me think of this, and maybe it's already starting to move your heart, is like the walls had to be so much more than just bricks or mortar. These walls had to be so much more than just the physical. There was so much more going on. And of course there was, because everything in life, there's a spiritual meaning. Everything in life, there's so much more that's going on than meets the eye. And these walls spoke about God's blessing, and we're going to see in just a moment. They spoke about his protection. They spoke about the favor of God in their lives. And at this moment, do you know what happened? Even though the children of Israel had rebuilt the temple, they would come out every day. And do you know what would really defeat them? Would be to see the broken walls. Because said, we did that. We might have been able to rebuild the temple, but we'll never be able to rebuild the walls. You know, there's a constant reminder of this. There's a constant reminder of that. And the enemy loves that. And maybe we find that in our lives, where we look at the scars that we've got from our life. We look at ourselves in the mirror and just say, hey, I've got nobody to blame but myself. This is why I'm here today. This is why I've been through this. I've done this. I've done that. And we can go round and round in circles. But sometimes we need a guy like Nehemiah to come to us and say, hey, come on, let's rebuild some stuff. Let's start over. Let's go again. And maybe that's the person that God's calling you to be. Or maybe you find yourself, we're the children of Israel or Nehemiah. Where do we find ourselves today? Maybe we're looking at all the things that we've done wrong, all the mistakes that we've made, all the things of the past that we've been involved in, and it's still affecting us. It's still pulling us down. If we don't do something, it will always will. But maybe there's a Nehemiah coming, or maybe there's a Jesus that's already come into your heart, who is the greatest Nehemiah. And he's already come into your heart, and maybe he wants to call you back to your purpose today. He wants to remind you that those broken walls do not have to be the end. They can be the beginning of a new chapter. And God is here this morning, and he wants to remind us, it's time to rebuild the walls. It's time to rebuild those broken things in our lives, because God is here to repair a nation and to repair the broken walls in our lives. Verse 18, it says this, I also told him about the gracious hand of my God on me. God's hand is on him. And what the king had said to me, they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. I love this. A man comes from the outside. He comes to God's people and he calls them back to good works again. Because their works had not been good for generations. Their works had not been good for a long time. And this man from a foreign place comes and he says, come on, let's get back to good works. Maybe we're coming to the people of Armagh to repair some broken walls. Remember, we're coming back. We celebrated St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a follower of Christ. He did incredibly significant things in his day. But I don't want to celebrate St. Patrick from now on. I want us to celebrate what we're doing today. We're thankful of St. Patrick, but I don't want it to be the greatest work. I'm not sure it ever was, but I don't want it to be the thing that we always remember. I want us to keep going because Jesus is greater. We're not living in the past. We're celebrating the past, but we're excited for today, and we're looking forward to tomorrow if the Lord gives it to us. What are we going to put our hands to? What are we going to rebuild? What are we going to transform in this city? It said, as one man came with good news, it caused everyone to do good works. And maybe this morning the Lord has challenged us with good news, and we're just a handful inside of 15 or 20,000 people in Armagh. But maybe God has called us to not only Armagh, but the wider areas, to go in there and to bring good news where there's only been bad news. And as we would bring that good news, it would cause people to follow Christ, and as they would start to do good works. And a kingdom would be transformed. Ireland would be transformed. Northern Ireland would be transformed. The UK would be transformed because some people started to say, hey, there's more that we can do. There's a good God out there who does impossible things. I think one of the most important things, and the Lord wants to remind us about it this morning, is we got to know our identity. Even though Nehemiah was a cupbearer, he knew he was made for more than this. That's why he got in that kind of trouble. That's why he decided to go to the king. That's why he decided to go to Judah. That's why he decided to go back to Jerusalem. He says, I think I'm made for more than this. There's nothing wrong with the job that I've got. The Lord has placed me in the right job. Now listen to this. The Lord had placed him in that job. Without that kind of access, he wouldn't have got the benefits that he was able to bring with him. We're not able to read the whole accounts of the story for the sake of time, but when Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem, he brings all this building supplies with him. He brings money with him. He brings all the goodness of what the king was able to bring, and he brings it for the work of the King of Kings, and they're able to restore the walls. And so the Lord has placed you in places that we may not understand yet. At the king's table, he's placed us at places that we don't understand yet. But hold fast and hold firm, because the Lord says, I know you know that you're made for more. But get ready, the more is coming as we would serve God. And his position allowed him to go and do the things that God had called him to do. But he needed to be in his position in the first place. What's the position that God's called you? And here's the conclusion of the story. Nehemiah 6:15-16 tells this. So the walls were completed on the 25th day of Yule. In 52 days, when all our enemies heard about this, this is so important to remember, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they had lost self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. I love that. 52 days, they rebuilt the walls. Doesn't sound that significant, but let me tell you how incredible these walls were. They were 2.5 miles long. 52 days, no cranes, no caterpillar diggers or caterpillar shovels or anything like that that you see on TV. They had no heavy lifting equipment. They just had themselves and our God. And at the end of it, it says the enemies were like, what's going on? Because these guys are incredible. 52 days, 2.5 miles. Now, even that doesn't sound that impressive until I tell you that these walls were 40 feet high. 40 feet high in 52 days, 2.5 miles. And let's take it another step further. They were 8 feet thick. These things were incredible. Incredible. These weren't like the walls that we think of. The walls that we think of are a few inches this way and that way. These things were feet deep. They were miles long. These were 2.5 miles long, 40 feet high, 8 feet deep. Unbelievable. These were normal, ordinary people that had been down in their luck. A man from afar off comes to them and says, hey, come on, let's do this thing. Let's rebuild the walls. And here's the walls that God has given us next door. And he wants to remind us that he hasn't just given us them to look at, but they're to rebuild something, to do something far more significant than we think. And they're going to rebuild the people, and they're going to rebuild the generation. Because God is for us. And church, this morning, we were just buying a building because it seemed like a good deal and because God had called us to it. And we're like, because we've got 175 just lying there. No, because we knew that God had called us to do incredible things. But we're not finished yet. We are not finished yet. We have purchased the walls, but now we've got to rebuild the walls. And God wants to remind us. This is what I was praying this week. I was saying, Lord, what do you want? What are you trying to teach us? What are you trying to show us through Nehemiah? What are you trying to reveal to us? And God kept saying over and over and over again, your building is a building, but it's very similar to the walls in Nehemiah. It's very similar. It's very close. And just like Nehemiah had to, you've got to rebuild the walls. And God's saying to us, we've got to rebuild this thing. Not just because of this or that, because of greater significance. And we're going to look at it in a moment, of what the purpose of rebuilding the walls were. And as we do, think of it in that context. Because what is it that God has given us? What is it that God has given us? What is the significance? What are the walls that we've got to rebuild? I believe God is saying firmly, it's next door. Here's a few quick things this morning as we'll get finished in about 5-10 minutes. First one was this: the walls were vital for a city. They were absolutely vital for a city. Without the walls, the city was easy prey for any enemy that would come. Without the walls in our lives, we're easy prey for any enemy that would come. The overriding thing in Nehemiah, and don't miss it, we said at the beginning, was not just the walls. The greatest thing that God was teaching the people was, you've got to get back to fasting and praying, and you've got to get back to the scripture. Because if the walls in our lives are not strong, the enemy is going to come, and he is going to destroy your life. There's no doubt about that. Because he hates you. He absolutely hates you. Think about how much the Lord loves you. Opposite end of that. He absolutely hates you. He wants to destroy your life. And the easiest way he will destroy your life if your defenses are not up. That's why the Lord says, take on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor. Make sure you got the shield. Make sure you got the belt. Make sure you got all the things you need. And the Lord is calling us to remind us, if we're going to rebuild the walls next door, we got to make sure that the walls are built in our lives. And that comes through fasting and praying and scripture. He kept doing it over and over and over again to the people of Nehemiah. I want to remind you of who we are. I want to remind you that we are God's people. How do we remind ourselves of that? We get into the Word. We get into prayer. That's how we build up our wall defenses. And this morning, church, I want to remind you, we've got to build that up. Broken walls equal a defeated people. You're either defeated now or you'll be defeated tomorrow. It's just going to happen because the enemy is out and he's going around like a roaring lion seeking who he could devour. And this is his goal. This is his dream, to take us out. And the Lord says this morning, we've got to see our city as a city that's been in defeat mode for a long time. But the Lord says, I want to rebuild some things. And as I rebuild some things, no longer will we be known as defeated people, but victorious people. We will no longer be thinking of hundreds of years back. We'll be thinking of today because of all that God has done. And the Lord, I believe, has given us a special favor to be a part of what he is doing in this season at this time. And he's saying, rebuild the walls in your life and get ready to rebuild the walls of Armagh. Because we're going to see a city transformed. The Lord is coming back, and he's coming back for a glorious bride, a beautiful church, and we're called to be a part of it. Second quick thing is this: rebuilding the walls were a symbolic sign of blessing. I have rebuilt my people. I have restored my people. The bit that they could do in their own strength was the temple. The bit that they could not do was the walls. And God says this morning, rebuilding the walls are a sign of my blessing, because they could only have rebuilt the walls in 52 days with God's supernatural help. Think about it. When the enemy saw it, what did they say in verse 16 of chapter 6? They said, surely God was with these guys. Surely God was with them. I want to be with God, and I want God to be with us. It's just the way they want to go, because that's what God has called us to be, men and women, mighty men and women of God, who walk in his steps, who follow in his shadow, and he equips us and he helps us. So when they rebuilt the walls, it was an incredible sign of blessing, an incredible sign of blessing, not only just protection, but blessing. Verse 9 of chapter 1 says this: if you return to me and obey my commands, then even, and we got to see this. This is so important for what the Lord wants to show us, especially for our city and what he's called us to. If you return to me and obey my commands, then even your exiled people if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. What Nehemiah is doing in that moment is he's praying scripture back to God. He's teaching us a powerful, effective way to pray to God. When we're not sure what to pray, we pray scripture back to God. Who is he quoting? He's quoting Moses. And he's saying the same things that you said over Moses, God, I'm claiming for the same people today. I want you to bring them from the farthest points, from the farthest horizons. I want you to bring them back. And as we rebuild the walls, as you help us to rebuild the walls, what will they be? They will be a sign to the people around, it's safe to come back to Jerusalem. It will be a sign for the people around about us, it's safe to come back. It's safe to come back to the kingdom. It's safe to come back to the house of the Lord. It's safe to come back from the farthest horizons. I'm going to stand for God again. I've been bruised and beat up. I've been denied my identity for too long, but it's time to come back home. It's time to come back into the kingdom. It's time to come back into the family. And as we rebuild the walls, God's going to bring those people from exile, and he's going to bring them back. And the best way we're going to pray like Moses. We're going to pray like Nehemiah. We're going to say, Lord, if it was good enough for back then, it's good enough for today. We're going to say, do it again, Lord, over and over and over. Do it again. This is what we're believing. God, your promises are yes and are today, yes and amen. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Third quick thing, rebuilding the walls pushes the enemy back. Chapter 2:20 tells us this, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you will have no share in Jerusalem or any kind of historic right to it. The Lord's going to drive out the enemy. As we rebuild the walls, as we do the things that he's called us to, he will do the deep spiritual work. He will drive out the enemy in our families. He will drive out the enemy in our hearts. He will drive out the enemy in our town. And we will see multitudes saved because God is a good God. And we're going to declare and stand on the promises of God because they're good promises. Because we are highly favored people and God does impossible things through us. Fourth thing, rebuilding the walls shows that God is with us. Read it again in chapter 6:16. We've got to see it again. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid. Up until this moment, they've been mocked over and over and over again. Even the religious people were coming to Nehemiah and his mates and saying, who do you think you are rebuilding the walls? We've destroyed this city. God's not in favor of us anymore. Stop being silly. Stop doing this. Stop doing that. And there are people that are coming to us and they're going to say, hey, well, are you crazy? Are you mad? This is too much. That is too much. You shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be there. And God says, no, no, no. I've called you to restore a broken city. I've called you to restore a broken nation. And we're going to be a small part in his big plan because that's who God's called us to be. And if we don't think that, then we need to get close to the king and let him renew our identity again because we are called to be overcomers. We're not called to be overcome by every single thing. We are called to be overcomers. And God has said to this, I want to restore Armagh back to being the church capital of Ireland. Not because of an historical fact, because of a real life happening. Because of what's happening here today. Because of what's happening through humble, simple people like us who have not got a clue. But we know we've got a good God. And he's called us to reach out. He's called us to shine. And know this, over and over and over again, the enemy would come, even friends of Nehemiah, even friends of the people would come and say, are you mad? Stop building this wall. Stop doing this. You're wasting your time. X, Y, and Z. And people are going to come and they're going to try to take us off course. And God says, no, know who you are. Know your purpose. Know where I've called you. Time is running out. People need to get saved. You have an important role to play in the salvation of people's lives as we would share the good news of Jesus Christ. The enemy wants to tell us, it's not worth it, it's not about you, who do you think you are? And God says, I am your king, and I've called you to do incredible things in these days. I'm going to finish off with a couple other quick things, and then we're going to worship. I want to note this really fast. Nehemiah was moved to begin with. You got to be moved to action. Jesus over and over again in the New Testament said he had compassion. He was moved, he was moved, he was moved. If we are numb, it's incredibly hard to be moved. Yesterday we were going out and our fingertips were freezing. They were just so cold because we're giving out the good news, but they were so cold because if you didn't have gloves then you're going to be cold. And you kept swapping hands. One hand was given out and then put it back in your pocket and then do the next hand. You know, you got to think creatively. But here's the truth. It was really hard to move when your hands got cold. That's why you had to swap them and do the next one. And God says this morning, if our hearts are numb and are frozen up and are hardcore, then it's so hard to move for the things of God. It's so hard. And the first thing we need to be is we got to allow the Lord to move us. We got to allow the Lord to move our hearts, to refresh our hearts, to soften our hearts, to restore our minds. And it doesn't matter. Look, the children of Israel were probably more than likely 99% to blame for their own issues. But it doesn't matter about any of that. God says there's a new day today, and there's a new day coming tomorrow if he wills. And so we got to get busy for the kingdom of God. And so number one, he was moved. Second quick thing was this, he acted. And if we're going to be moved, then we've got to act, and fasting and prayer has got to be a big one. He called others to join, and then he said, well, if we're going to do it, we're going to joint do it together. And he says, come on, let's do it together. And when the enemies came, they fasted and prayed. They prayed against it. A couple of quick last things. Walls completed. Because of teamwork, because they stuck together, because they just kept going, because they kept believing, because they kept the faith. They kept sharing everything together. They kept bringing their supplies together. Again, very like the early church, God just keeps repeating the same stories over and over and over again because he wants to let us know we're a simple people. We need simple stories. But if we get a heart of this, if we get a hold of this, we will transform our city. Can we stand together? We're going to finish off. Well, let's just close our eyes just for a moment. Still our hearts. Lord, will you reveal to us the things that you need us to remember? Lord, will you reveal to us the things that we know that need to be called out afresh in our spirits, need to be called out afresh in our hearts? Lord, all this week you've been calling us, calling me to call of all of us to think back to the story of Nehemiah, to think back to what he did and what was the secrets to his success. And over again, it comes back to simple truths. Knowing who we are in God, we're going to know that because we know who we are in the Word. We're going to know that because we know the Word. We're going to know how to talk to God because we pray, because we know his voice and he knows our voice. Because we're going into prayer. We're going to be moved because our hearts are close to God. And when our hearts are close to the Father, we see things in a different way. We look at the book of Nehemiah, we say, see over and over and over again a man who went back to the simple truths of reading the scripture, fasting and praying, calling people together, let's do this thing. And by the end of it, they did a miraculous thing. Brand new wall. 2.5 miles long, 40 feet high, 8 feet thick, 52 days. They could not have done it in their own strength. They did that. That was the temple. But they could not do the walls. And yet God brought them together. And as they did, they repaired stupid old walls. But they changed the nation. They changed the nation. And Lord, it may look to us as we would look out to next door and say, it's just a stupid old building. It is a stupid old building, but it's got significance because God says so. It's got significance because it will symbolize a blessed people. It will symbolize a people of no fear because we will say, if God is for us, who could be against us? It will show a people who are together, not just in word, but financially, not just in finances, but in the things that they do. They're of one heart, of one spirit, of one God, of one mind, and blessing will flow, blessing will flow, blessing will flow. As they rebuilt the walls, people from the farthest places came back to Jerusalem. As they rebuilt the walls, because it was a sign to them, God's pleased with us again. God's pleased with us. And Lord, this morning we know that God is pleased with us no matter what because of Jesus. But there are so many people out there that have wrong thinking, that have wrong theology, that have wrong thoughts about themselves. And they say, hey, I'm never going to sort my life out because God's not pleased with me because I've just no hope. And God says this morning, as we begin to rebuild the walls of our building next door, that will send a message through the kingdom. It will send a message through our mouth that says, God is well pleased again. God is calling us home again. The enemy came day after day. We've got to be real. The enemy came day after day, moment by moment, says, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? You should just quit. You should just do this. You should just do that. But they were not deterred. They were not held back because they knew that God was with them. And so this morning, Lord, maybe the biggest thing that we need to know is that God is with us. He is with us. His gracious hand is upon us. His blessing is over us. God is in us. He's here to do great things. And we're going to do great things for God because God has done great things in us. Jesus, we love you. Lord, this morning, will you remind us of who we are? Will you remind us of what you've called us to? Lord, will you purpose in our hearts and remind us that we go to rebuild the walls, Lord. We go to rebuild the house of the Lord. And as we do, we're going to see people come through. Lord, will you rebuild the walls in our hearts, Lord? Maybe some of those have crumbled. Maybe some of those have just cracked and have fallen away. But Lord, this morning, will you rebuild those in our lives? Rebuild those in our hearts. And Lord, this morning, will you rise us up to not just be Nehemiahs or Moses, but Lord, you rise us up to be Jesus. Jesus to a broken world. Jesus to a broken generation. Calling them back to who they are in Christ. Lord, we have the best news. The best news. But the enemy wants to keep us silent. But as they rebuilt the walls, the enemy lost confidence. They started to scatter and flee. And Lord, as we would rebuild the walls of our city, both spiritually and physically, that we're going to see the enemy scatter in Jesus' name. Because what you've done before, you're going to do again. Because you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You are for us and not against us. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Church, here's the final couple of things. You can rest your eyes. You can open your eyes. It doesn't matter. A couple of things we worship. Here's the things that the Lord has really challenged us. The strength of Nehemiah was fasting and praying, getting back into Scripture. I cannot encourage you enough. Go and read your Bibles. We will never become all that God's called us to be if we don't know His Word. We just never, ever will. We never, ever will. We need to know what He says. Because there are so many other voices out there. And if you need a word for today, go and get a word for today. If you've not heard of that, go and get one. Ask someone. Come and ask me. Come and ask Nikki. We'll sign you up. You'll get a free devotional every single day. There'll be notes. If that's where it starts, go for it. But go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. But marry it up with action. Because Nehemiah was moved. He wept. He was moved. And then he moved for the people of God. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to be men and women of action. And so what I'm going to call us to do is this. Two things, and we're going to come and worship in just a moment. Two things that God's really convicted my heart on is that we're going to fast and pray. Now, again, you fast whenever God calls you. But what we're going to do is we're going to come together. We're going to pray. We're going to pray this thing through. Because every single time that we have prayed, God has done great things. But it's like we've went back every single time. We've kind of got there and we've just been, oh, we've done it, Lord. And then we go back to rest. And God says, no, keep praying. Keep praying. And so beginning in April, we've got a lot of things beginning in April. But it's only a couple of weeks ago, weeks to go. But after Easter, we're going to start to meet regularly. And we're not even sure how this is going to look yet, so I'm going to work out the diary. But we might have to change a couple of things so that we can come to the Lord and we can start to pray regularly. But here's the thing. We learned it last week, and God's reminding us of it this morning. If you're going to pray regularly, and we're going to come to pray, we're going to come to pray with God and for God and with His people, we have to have a burden. Otherwise, we're just going to fall asleep or get frustrated. We have to have a burden. So over this next couple of weeks, I'm going to encourage you to go into your own devotional times. Read and pray and fast and weep and do all the things you need to do so that the Lord can crack your heart, so He can break your heart for the people out there, for your family, for your friends, for your workmates, for the city of Armagh, for the whole of our nation, because Armagh is not exclusive. We're just believing for what we are placed in, but it's Portadown, it's Market Hill, it's Newry, it's wherever you are. It's wherever you are. And allow the Lord to break your heart so when we come to pray, we come with a burden. We come with a burden to pray. And the other thing we're going to do is, because the people not only came to work, but they gave all that they had to work. And so we're going to start open this up in the next couple of days, but we're going to open up a special fund just for our building next door. And if you feel called and as God moves in your heart, maybe you want to set up a regular monthly payment into that account, which is going to go exclusive for the church, for building our new building, but rebuilding the walls. And maybe you want to give to that, then you can come to me and say, hey, I want to give to that. But we're going to set this fund up and we're going to start believing in faith that God's going to rebuild and He's going to do all the things He's called us to do. Because here's the thing, the overriding thing is just too big to process. But I know what we can do is to pray and give. Pray and give, get into Scripture, give our time, give our finances, give to God all that we have. And as we do, God's going to do incredible things with us. With that, He will honor that. So church, this morning, we're going to worship. And as we do, we're going to do our regular offering. We're going to give to the Lord this morning. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to set up prayer. We're going to set up giving to a special account that's special for that new building in the next couple of weeks. And I can call you to fast and pray if you need to get a heart for this. And if you have, then get a heart for it as we come to pray in the next few weeks. But church, come on, let's finish off with some worship. And as we do, we're going to give to the Lord. I'm going to ask the Lord just continue to move our hearts. Amen.